Hello, if you've just joined us, you're watching Stockwatch. With me in studio today is Matthew Thompson from Resco Asset Management, Rikus Rieders from PSG Wealth. Don't forget to send us your questions. You can SMS them to 41392. You can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. You can tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Before we get started, though, a quick recap of how the JSE ended the day. 1% gain on the FINI 15 helped lift the oil share by just over 0.25%. Industrials up by 0.6%, but resources pulling back by 0.5%. Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for coming in. So the top performer today, Rikus Steinhoff, top performer on the top 40. Of course, it's not going to be on the top 40 for very much longer, I'm sure. But that share was up 7.8%. So coming off its highs, but a good result given the PSG shares that was selling today.
Yeah, as he was saying before the show, thank heavens for PSG. So there's a cash injection. I see that book ball closed at 240, so that's extra liquidity for Steinhoff and its face that they need it.
Mm. What did you make of it, Sam? Because they are really trying to scramble for cash anywhere they can find it at the moment. 240, it was a small discount to where PSG was trading today, though.
Yeah, quite positive. And you would think with a share like PSG, it's a really great management team, great share, that it would be fully subscribed within the day. And I think a fair price, and Steinhoff would have been happy with that. And yeah, we might see some more of these going forward. I know they've got some equity stakes in companies like Cup, which they might have to also unload. So don't be surprised if you see some of the equity holdings come out with more accelerated book builds for liquidity for Steinhoff.
Any thoughts on why they didn't sell the full 16%, just sold 13.5%?
Sure, yeah.
And would you expect PSG to be under pressure today? Because it closed slightly higher, despite the shares being offloaded cheaper than its share price.
Yeah, it depends. it's also a signal that because a book build is oversubscribed and filled at a reasonable price, that there is a decent amount of buying in the market and support for PSG. So that is a positive for PSG.
So Steinhoff shares are probably up about 60 or 70% so far this year, but it's still a long way to go before it gets back to where it was last year, Rikus. I mean, do you see this recovery continuing?
Who knows? I mean, it's obviously not the same company than most of us thought, even if we thought badly about it to start off with. So the restructuring of its assets, and I'm quite sure that they will have to sell off some of the investments they have made, will put it in a totally different position if you want to value it. But, and I think as everybody has said on the show, we don't know enough information yet. I see the news out of Amsterdam today where there was an appeal lodged, has again been extended forward till about the 18th or the 8th of February. So again, you know, still no news. So
okay, so just increasing uncertainty.
Well, the uncertainty is there, and we don't know, and we still don't know. So at the moment, it's great conversation for dinner parties, but you can't really put a tail on this donkey at all.
Okay. So you couldn't say at around R8 it presents value?
Yeah, there's also risk around contingent liabilities. You don't know what litigation is going to come up from this in future. So there's always that tail risk from Steinhoff. I think you can probably take a view on the real underlying operations. I saw Poundland sales, for example, were good in December, but in general, you never know what's in Steinhoff. You're just going to have to wait and see.
Okay. So we have a question from Bruce. Actually, two questions. First, he asks, what's happened to our share ticker on Business Day TV? And we've had a graphics problem since we came back. So that ticker is expected to be up in the next day or two. The second part is this a good time to move cash overseas to the UK? Or better still, to invest in some established local stocks like Aspen, British American Tobacco, Vodacom, Mondi, etc.? Okay, so would you be moving cash overseas at the moment?
Probably. If you look at the rand, where it's traded, almost hit 11.99 today. It was hovering just above 12. I think that's a really good time to move some of your money offshore. But once again, some of those shares that he mentioned are rand hedges. So they would also take into account the fact that the rand is trading where it is. And if you do see a weaker rand over the next 3 to 5 years or whatever your investment horizon is, then it probably does look like a good time to move your money offshore. But just keep in mind, if you are going into equity markets offshore, they are looking slightly expensive. Although in saying that, global growth is strong, the US is looking really good, so we can see a few more years of strong equity growth. So yeah, at these levels, I think I'd be pretty happy moving money offshore.
Mm-hmm. Any of those shares you would perhaps like rather than taking your money offshore?
Yes, I agree. I mean, Mondi, British American Tobacco and Aspen are hardly local shares. So the question is, do you take advantage of the strong rand to buy the SA incorporated shares while sentiment is positive? And in the same vein, also move your cash offshore, admittedly into somewhat overheated market, but taking a longer term view that although the sentiment is positive right now, things are still, in my opinion, way towards a weakening of the rand gradually in the long term. So on both accounts, I would say, yeah, not a bad idea to take advantage of this, but it's not a all-in, all-out type of thing. Take advantage, move some of your money offshore, and if you really think that even a small difference in the management of this country will have a geared positive effect on local manufacturing and local consumers, yeah, then there certainly are some value propositions and value stocks that you can take a look at right now that are specific to the South African market and South African economy.
Okay. Dion would like the panel's view on the future of Harmony Gold. So the share's currently around 21 rand.
So Harmony Gold, you clearly have to take a view on the gold price, but also the rand dollar. So once again, that's a share that you have to take a view on the rand dollar, and it's very hedged to that rand gold price. I did like the acquisition of some of Anglo Gold's assets. They are specialists in managing older South African gold mines, but sure, if you get into Harmony, you just know that it's going to be a risky play. So if the gold price falls by 10% and the rand stays where it is, you'll lose money. But vice versa, you can make some money. So as a long-term investment, not for me, but short-term risk-taking, if you have a view on the gold price, then yeah.
I mean, do you agree, rather trade with gold shares than invest?
Always. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Harmony's got quite a bit of capex that's out of the way. So in that sense, if fortune smiles on them and we have a higher gold price, maybe just a steady rand or maybe a weakening rand, yeah, then it's even more geared towards such good fortune, and you can have a very nice rally in it.
Okay. Alexander Forbes. Either of you look at Alexander Forbes?
I do.
Do you have a view on them?
I think in line with a lot of, shall we say, asset management companies, we're talking Coronation or Sanlam or Old Mutual, and obviously there are particular things to those various companies, but in a sort of bull market locally, that type of company tends to follow the market and tend to do well. Obviously, Alexander Forbes is also reinventing themselves from being very much geared towards administering funds to also now taking the role as an investment manager. So in that sense, it's still early days, but it's interesting. The price itself hasn't quite reacted yet, but yeah, it's certainly one that I'm keeping on my radar.
Mm-hmm. On your radar?
Not at this stage. I know one of their biggest strategies they call retailization of their clients. So moving from just having the company relationships with the board of trustees where they manage your pension fund to actually getting the end client throughout their retirement where they pay fees to you. There have been quite a few executive changes which do look positive, but I think I'd like to see the new executive team actually implement the strategy, and I'd like to see those numbers start moving positively so that I can see some execution before buying.
Okay. This viewer would like to know why consolidated infrastructure and data tech have dropped to current levels. So perhaps starting with consolidated infrastructure, have either of you followed that? Because, I mean, they seem to have a huge litany of problems last year, Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, consolidated infrastructure has been a wild ride. I know it's one of the popular questions on the show. And really had a really tough year last year. It came out with a trading statement and an updated trading statement and an even further updated trading statement. So I know they do have liquidity issues. They were also struggling to get money out of a few of the rest of African countries. So for now, I think also waiting, similar to Steinhoff, you don't really know what's happening. You don't have a full view into the company. So very difficult to make a decision at this stage. I think if you're holding, hold on and just wait, take the wait and see approach. And then Datatec, I know they, because of the sale of one of their biggest assets, they did
special dividends. Yeah,
there was a special dividend, and that of course you receive the dividend, but the share price drops, but your wealth should stay the same at that date.
Yeah, I mean, consolidated infrastructure, I mean, and Matthew said similar problems to Steinhoff, because there is some opaqueness around some of their accounts, isn't there?
Well, I think that's always been my concern, is cash flow and trying to reconcile that with earnings, plus the geographic risk they had, whether it be in Angola or wherever. So the return on assets have never been quite there for me. So in that sense, yeah, it's not something that I'm really interested in at the moment, and until there's, until we see some real earnings coming from the company itself.
If you were holding the shares, would you continue to hold and hope for a recovery?
Possibly some to make it interesting, but if but if what I've got left is investable for even so extended, then I'd rather preserve what capital I've got and go into something else. I mean, the whole company is geared towards infrastructure, whether it be here or cross border. There's a lot of other companies playing in exactly the same space, whose financials look a lot better. So I don't think it's of any use just sitting with us, because you have a faint memory of where it was.
Yeah. Okay, before we get to break, another one. Adapt IT had a strong interim trading statement. What are your thoughts?
So yeah, I was actually having a look at it today. I really like the management team. They've executed really well on making some really good acquisitions and growing the business also organically. And I think with this positive South Africa sentiment, you could have a lot of corporates that were holding off on their IT spend that start to look at doing some IT projects. So I think that's definitely a tailwind environment for Adapt IT, and at these levels, looks good.
They seem to get dragged down by EOH last year as well, though, Rikus. Do you think it was deservedly so, or were they just tarnished with the same brush?
I think it had a huge effect, because people were viewing Adapt IT as the new EOH, and all of a sudden they sort of became EOH. So I agree. I mean, with that trading update, it looks very good. I'd like to see what the cash flow from those acquisitions are, but I've got no problem with the company itself. Whether the IT sector at the moment is something I want to be in, that's another question. And it's not because of what's happening locally in the IT sector, but globally, specifically where we are in our business cycle, I think your growth IT sector might be become less heated as the thought move to value, basically.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave there for a moment. We're going to break. Keep sending through those questions via SMS to 41392. Email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. You can also tweet us at BusinessDayTV, and you can use the hashtag Stockwatch. Welcome back. Time to check out on how global markets are trading. We're starting off in the United States. We can see the Dow Jones up by 0.33% at this stage of trade. S&P 500 close to 0.5% higher, and NASDAQ up by close to 0.75%. Of course, we do have some big tech shares reporting this week, starting with Netflix. Netflix, which is reporting after the close of market tonight. Across the Atlantic, positive closes for Paris and Frankfurt, but the FTSE 100 pulling back by 0.25%. Still with me in studio are Rikus Riedus from PSG Wealth. We have Matthew Thompson from Resco Asset Management. And we had a question about Signia, if I can find it. It seems Signia is being punished quite harshly. Is this because of the CEO standard on corruption and passive acts of fund managers, or for less obvious reasons? And that question comes from Joe. Do you think Signia is being punished because of Magda, Rikus?
Considering where it was about 6 months ago, I think about 8 rand, it's recovered to about 13 rand. Maybe it was punished and has recovered somewhat on the back of, I think, pretty decent earnings. It's not something I follow all that closely. But yeah, certainly innovative, possibly a pretty good cash flow coming in from the takeover of the DBX tracker funds. But yeah, as I said, not something I study in half an hour, for example.
And they have been quite aggressive with ETFs. So since buying the DBX trackers, they've launched a number of other ETFs as well, Matthew.
Yes. I'm generally quite cautious on passive companies that manage passive products, because at the end of the day, that your product is very similar to another company that offers a passive fund. So what you get there is price competition, and eventually your margins erode away. So you don't really have that pricing power, and I think that's where they're trying to go, is to build that brand, really get out there in front of the consumer, to build the big economies of scale behind their costs. So, yeah, but over the long term, I'm not very positive on a passive investment manager.
Okay, but you don't think the fall has anything to do with Magda?
No, I don't think it does.
And Green Bay Properties, either of you?
Yeah, so I've looked at Green Bay Properties quite a bit. Last year, it was all the hype. They own half of their investment fund, or their property fund is listed infrastructure. And then they've got some assets in Portugal and a few assets in Eastern Europe, but they've raised a lot of capital over the last few years. So I think they've had about 5 or 6 accelerated book builds, and they're part of the resilience stable. So that's why you've seen them come off from the two rand 50 levels. It's because of the market jitters around the resilience stable, so the Fortress, Nepi Rockcastle, Green Bay. I really think they are very expensive. So if you look at the underlying NAV, and some of that NAV is listed, so it's a reasonable NAV to rely on, the share was trading at a significant premium, almost up to 50% when it was at 2 rand 50. So I think, you know, you shouldn't be surprised to see it have come off to these levels, and I think it's still trading in a premium. So
okay, well, Anthony does ask, is it a buy at 1 rand 90?
In my view, no. Yeah.
But all of the resilience property group were thought to be quite expensive. So do you think they're trading more realistic prices now, Rikus?
Yeah, the one I've been following was Nepi Rock, which peaked at about just above 200, and they're back at 165. And again, there's such a lot of rumors surrounding it that we're looking at sentiment sort of overtaking valuations, which I agree with Matthew is pretty dear. And in sentiment, it's easy to go and do technicals, because that's what it does. And there it looks like it can go to about 150 without really destroying an uptrend that really has been very strong for a number of years. Mm-hmm. So timing-wise, if you're comfortable with the financials, I don't think they're cheap fundamentally. And certainly there's some technical downside as well.
Okay. Will Bidvest and Bidcorp ever reach parity again? That's a reasonable question.
Well, I think, they're two separate companies. Yeah. So Bidvest did own Bidcorp, and they split off Bidcorp, and now they're trading as two completely separate companies. Both obviously.
So there's no reason why they should?
No, absolutely not. No.
Do you like either of them?
Yes. I like Bidcorp. I think it's a fantastic company, great management team. They've done really well in Europe and the UK and some other emerging markets. They're essentially a food distributor, food services. And what they've done really well is focus on catering to the independent restaurateur as opposed to the lower margin franchise businesses. And you've seen the margin increase from that strategy. So obviously the share price has come off because it's most of its earnings come from outside of South Africa. But at this stage, I'd be quite a happy holder of Bidcorp.
Mm. And if you're positive on the prospects for South Africa, or improving prospects for South Africa, would you be looking at Bidvest as well, Rick?
I think that's the sort of go-to company, specifically if you're a foreign investor, where it's more about what you can buy. If all of a sudden you turn very positive on South Africa, then, I want a consumer stock. Well, go and buy Bidvest. You know, you're not going to worry too much whether it's a 15p or a 19p. So in that sense, if sentiment sustains, then Bidvest can go high. I'm not saying it's incredibly cheap or anything like that, but yeah.
Okay. Nico asks, what do you think about PSG Group for a buy? Now that Steinhoff's selling.
Yeah, it's always been difficult for me because you take a view at the underlying assets, Capitec, Curo, you know, some of the other fast-growing companies, and they've always been slightly too expensive for me, so I've kept away. So I think with PSG, excellent management team, really innovative. They take a view on companies, they back companies, and they can really disrupt sectors. So long-term view, I really like PSG, but from a valuation perspective, I generally struggle to be a buyer of PSG.
Well, you forgot to mention great portfolio managers.
Yes.
Yeah. It's probably an unfair question to ask you, Rikus, so whether you think PSG is a buy.
I should remain silent.
Like, I could ask you, Robert would like to know about the merits of an investment in combined motor holdings.
Combined? You know, that's one of those strange companies that I always think, why is this thing going up? And I really don't know. So, no, I mean, I can't even get close to it because it doesn't matter what the cycle is. This thing just tends to motor along, if you'll excuse the pun.
Do you have any thoughts on CMH?
Yeah, so I think they've got quite a large exposure to the used vehicle market. And last year, that did really well. Generally, you see when new car sales are struggling, then obviously the consumer was struggling, so they moved towards buying used cars. And then I know CMH also has a car rental business, which has been doing quite well. So they have been struggling over, it was a few years ago, they were really struggling, but the executive team has delivered on the strategy year after year. So I even think last year that they were growing at double digits. So in that consumer environment, yeah.
And they were growing last year, even though the vehicle market didn't really do much.
Exactly, and I think that's largely also on the back of the used car sales, which seem to be doing quite well.
And see, I think that's my point. I sort of think, you know, but for this kind of cyclical type of market, you know, they just keep on delivering. So yeah, it's pleasantly surprised if you're a holder, but it's unfortunately, I've neglected that.
Okay, well, you might not be pleasantly surprised if you're a Brait holder, so this viewer would like to know whether Brait has hit rock bottom or is it time to start buying?
That's a great question. very difficult to know when Brait's going to stop falling. Taking a view at the underlying assets, clearly the difficult asset has been New Look. And although it's now valued at zero in their net asset value, it could be valued at a large negative value because they may carry on putting money into New Look and lead to further value destruction. So, yeah, I'd definitely wait until there's more clarity around what Brait's strategy is with New Look. Are they just going to ditch it, try and get rid of it and start from a clean slate, or are they actually going to try and save New Look?
Mm. Would you take a cheeky punt at Brait at these levels?
No. it violates the first principle of don't buy things which are on a downtrend, and Brait is certainly in a downtrend, and together with all the questions surrounding what is valued at what and what might have to be got rid of, I wouldn't want to go close to that. And again, just taking a look at technicals, I've got a sort of 3-2 rand penciled in as a positive price it can reach from current levels.
Okay, well, here's a stock that's been in an uptrend. It's Nike. Brendan would like to know. He's had has had a good run over the last 6 months. Should he sell or continue to hold? He bought it at $52. So either of you look at Nike?
It's not part of my sort of offshore portfolio.
I had a look at it last year with Adidas, but nothing detailed. I think they've done, generally these companies trade at
it's gone from 52 to 66 since he bought it.
See, that's exactly when I was looking at it. I was at 52, so clearly I missed something. So, actually I have no real insight on that.
Oh, well, enjoy while you can, Brendan. We're going with our stock picks. And Rikus, you have chosen Reunert.
Yeah, it sort of ties in with what I was saying earlier in the show, that if we believe that what's happening politically will have a positive spin-off economically, then Reunert is as well positioned for any type of improvement in manufacturing, basically, considering their investments in cables and office technology and also higher end technology. So that's great. Not expensive, thinking about a 10p and a great dividend yield. If we are wrong and things don't turn out as positive as we think, you've got the, shall we say, comfort of Reuners sitting with a huge cash pile that sort of underpins the balance sheet as well, and that might then be used in future if we do eventually get right, so to speak. So it's a bit, it's both safety with the potential of growth.
Heads you in, tails you also in.
Something like that.
Matthew, you've chosen Mondi.
Yeah, so a Rand Hedge share. Definitely at these levels, I'm quite keen to buy some Rand Hedges as well as some SA shares that like Reunert. But Mondi is its underlying businesses, the prices. So, for example, they sell something called Kraftliner, which is used in making packaging. The prices are looking really good, really strong, so their margins are looking good. And also, the European consumer is looking really strong, so they are set to benefit from that growth. So, yeah, Mondi looks good at this stage.
Okay, Mondi and Reunert are stock picks tonight. Gents, we have to leave it there. Thank you both very much. So we have time for tonight. Julieta, back in tomorrow to get some answers to your stock-related questions. Thanks again to Matthew Thompson from Resco Asset Management, Rikesh Riedos from PSG Wealth. Have a good evening. We'll be right back.